Good morning. Good to see so many familiar faces again. Glad to have everybody, so many people back. And we welcome you all here this morning, to all of you that have come here to the service and those that will be listening online. We're going to begin our service this morning by reading part of Psalm 96. So if you turn in your hymnal to number 820 in the back of the hymnal. And we're going to read that together as it is written. I will read the light print. You can read this dark print, and then in the italics at the bottom, we'll read together. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, tremble before him all the earth.
Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. Let's sing our opening song, number 71, in the hymnal. And we'll stand to sing that. Please join me now in the call to worship that's written in the bulletin. Open our ears.
To hear your word.
Open our eyes to see your presence. Open our arms to embrace of community. Open our minds to beauty of truth. Open our hearts to the joy of new life. Let's bow for prayer. We praise you, God, in the sanctuary and under the stars, for your greatness and for your goodness, with loud hymns and quiet prayers, with helping hands and dancing feet, with our breath and with all creation. We praise you, God. Amen. We'll continue singing. This is song number 116 in the Voices Together, but we will have it on the screen this morning. Let's stand to sing. Let me take my turn at expressing my joy in seeing all of you. If any of you had been up here throughout this entire year plus some, you would have the same feeling as anyone else up here. Val and I know that sensation of looking out and seeing more benches than people. And now we see people as well. You know, we have all sort of gone through the struggle together in very different ways. For those who were able to come here, and throughout the summer last year, remember there was no one here. Do we remember that? You know, how quickly we forget those times and how far things have come now. So with a lot of rejoicing and thanksgiving and praise to God for the steps that we have been able to come to so far, and for those who said, for the sake of the community, I am going to stay at home, that's also a sacrifice. You know, some think it's a sacrifice to get up early and get dressed up and come to the building. For others, they would want to be here more than any other place. So we have all struggled together in our various ways.
In the past, we didn't always have quilts up here. We didn't always have quilts up here. And if you turn around in your benches, you'll see a few hanging from the balcony. It looks really quite cool up there. And these are just a small, like a foretaste of heaven. You saw the pictures. And in total, right here it says 51 quilts have been tied. And then someone, maybe one of you, will load them into your very large vehicle, because 60 of them, there were 10 from last year. They need to go to Saskatoon. And then we will need more fiber fill, because we plan to make more quilts next year, God willing. But for the summer, there will be a rest for quilt making anyways. So in light of this attention being brought to the quilts, the time of closing of these quilts, or like some prefer to be called, not quilts, they are tied blankets. So let's be specific. These are tied and they are blankets, but they are a blessing nonetheless. And so I would like to do a very short, direct blessing for these quilts and all of the work that went into them. But I will not call anybody forward, because we are so humble, we don't like attention being drawn to ourselves. The first part is simply a blessing, and you can take it as a blessing even on yourselves, on your own work, because we have all done different kinds of work in this season. It is not only the quilts. So think of it in its entirety. Here is the blessing. May the light of your soul guide you. May the light of your soul bless the work. The work you do with the secret love and warmth of your heart. May you see in what you do the beauty of your own soul. May the sacredness of your work bring healing, light, and renewal to those who work with you, and to those who see and receive your work. May your work never weary you. May it release within you wellsprings of refreshment, inspiration, and excitement. May you be present in what you do. May you never become lost in the bland absences. May the day never burden you. May dawn find you awake and alert, approaching your new day with dreams, possibilities, and promises. May evening find you gracious and fulfilled. May you go into the night blessed, sheltered, and protected. May your soul calm, console, and renew you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in this workplace, we bring your presence. We speak your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your perfect order in this space. We acknowledge your power over all that has been spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. Lord, thank you for the gifts with which you have blessed us. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do the job. Anoint these projects, ideas, and energy so that even the smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. Lord, guide us, infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. May the work that is done and the way we do it bring faith, joy, and a smile to all as we release this work into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for all that you are to us. Personally, individually and as a community. We, one body of Christ. Sometimes it's hard to appreciate different parts of our body, and we'll recognize that, we'll remember that now as we are getting our desire to be able to gather together again. And then all of a sudden, every place that it rubs the wrong way comes to light again. We're human, and we confess our humanity to you. We admit it, we acknowledge it, and we desire to become the people that you want for us to be. Your body, demonstrating who you are to each other and to the entire world. Help us, even in our worship here, that this would be genuine spirit of worship, not just habitual practices, not just order of service, but that as we proceed in an orderly fashion and we participate in these various methods of expressing who you are and who we are, that your spirit would infuse all that we do, that would give life to all that we say and sing and think. It seems, how on earth could a simple little short practice in a tiny little building on a nondescript corner in a little town, how could that make any difference? And yet, this practice has spiritual significance, has significance for the entire world. Open our eyes, as we have said already today, to be able to see that. Open our hearts and our spirits. Inspire us with the reality of what belief is, what faith is, who you are. Teach us something new. And in the midst of all of this, we thank you for the very habitual way that you keep giving to us. And you keep inviting us to come back and ask again. This is our reality. This is what we live in, our mortal bodies. We pray all the time for those who have suffered the loss of their spouse, their loved ones. We pray that you continue to encourage them and give them strength. Strengthen the ones who care for the ailing ones, not only the physical, but those who are struggling with mental health issues. We pray for them too. And some, even for those who say, I'm taking care of myself and I can hardly keep it together. We pray for them. Give us the awareness and the genuine caring for our brothers and sisters to be able to say, how are you doing? Would you like to talk about anything? That this love and compassion would come from you, that we as the conduit, as the channel of who you are, that we wouldn't think that we have to produce all of this, because we cannot. We're simply human. But your caring and your love and your compassion flow through us. We pray for Camp Elam. We pray for the Presbyterian Church. We pray for Nutana Park. And we pray for all of those struggling against this pandemic as it continues, as people continue to be hospitalized. People are dying of this, and we pray that there would be an end to it. Help us to continue to remember that there are many people around the world who have not yet even received the choice of having vaccination. We pray for them. And help us to be spurred on beyond our prayer, that maybe our prayer would nudge our compassion, which would move us to action in speech or whatever your spirit prompts us to do. Help us to do it. We pray now with confusion and leaning on your Holy Spirit, where you said the Spirit groans more deeply than we could even imagine, for the indigenous relations. It's probably better not to have too many words, but we confess to you what we do know, and we pray for healing, and we pray for humility of spirit, first of all, to be able to be open to hear truth. And that after truth, there would really be reconciliation. Not necessarily only reconciliation that comes from a commission or a committee or a government something or other, but that there would be genuine truth and true reconciliation. Because only then can you heal our land. We thank you for this home, and we pray for it. Just as we pray for all that you have invited us to pray, as your disciples, we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
For the scripture this morning, I'll be reading from Philippians 1:1-26. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of their selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that it, in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is being preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will be in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that Now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live in Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I have to warn you, I can't quite see the top of the clock. Usually I can see that perfectly, but Val has positioned that quilt up there in the perfect place. So once it gets to be 10 to 11, I won't know beyond that. So I can just keep going on and on and on until it actually gets to be quarter after or 20 after, and then I can see the hand going down the other side. But until then, well, you're on your own. Nobody got super worried. You are all the well-behaved ones. The ones who are less well-behaved have still decided to stay at home. As she looks into the camera. Now, on to the topic at hand. Who cares is the title. And I ask Grace to put that exclamation and a question mark, because that phrase can be both. And sometimes we mean both when we say it. Sometimes we say it as an exclamation. Who cares? Meaning, I don't care, or why should you care about a particular issue? Sometimes it is a question when we ourselves are in the midst of a struggle or a difficulty or a really hard time. We sometimes ask, who cares? Who cares for me but Jesus? Isn't there a hymn that goes like that? There is no one who cares, no one who knows the struggles that I'm going through. And so the two of them go together. They walk hand in hand. The two ways of saying, who cares? And after we've heard Paul's initial testimony here from prison, he could be saying both of these two things as well. And in fact, we expect him especially to be saying the question one, who cares? Here I am, poor me, I'm innocent. I'm a Roman citizen. I've been thrown into a Roman prison? For what? Just for being a preacher? Oh, who cares? Does that sound like the Paul that you know? Doesn't sound at all like the Paul that was writing here to the Philippians either. And in fact, the quote from verse, let me see exact, right there, verse 18. Are you looking at it? Philippians 1, verse 18. My Bible says, what does it matter? Which is the long version of, who cares? And that is the focus for everything else that goes around it for us this morning. Who cares? So I want for us at the end of this morning to be recognizing, number one, recognizing what it is we care about. Okay, that's the first thing. Understand for yourself. This is how to be emotionally healthy, personally and as a community. Understanding what it is that we care about. And then second of all, to care about the right things. Understand what we care about, or what we're so concerned about, or what we're so worried about. And then care about the right things. And Paul leads us through that process. We won't have time to follow everything that Paul said in this first 26 verses. But just as a hint for today, in case we get lost in some of the other information that is going to come out like a fire hose, hopefully, we need to understand what we care about and learn to care about the right things. That's what Paul says. Now, I want to back up and do a little bit of a survey of Philippians, because for the next 7 weeks, we're going to be studying this book of Philippians. Okay, so this is just the beginning. And if we don't understand the foundation on which Philippians was written, we'll miss a lot. And worse than missing a lot, we might just sort of lean back into our default, because there's a lot of famous verses here in Philippians that we've heard so many times before, and we're going to hear them again and again the same old way. But the Spirit of God, who is in these verses, in this letter, would love to inspire new understanding, a new way of hearing these verses that is applicable to our lives and our new situation. So we're going to try and pour a new foundation. Now, don't worry, I don't mean any other foundation than Jesus Christ, because there is no other foundation than that which has been laid. But there might be a little bit of a different kind of foundation for the book of Philippians. And as I mentioned to those who read my emails on a daily basis or a semi-daily basis, I was talking about my study of this book and how intriguing it was. It was quite exciting because I was learning things I hadn't known before. And when I started learning those things, all of a sudden I realized, whoa, there's so much more here I had no idea about. And even this morning, before coming to church, and I was reading this again, newness and refreshment was coming. So I hope and I pray that God's Spirit will continue to work in all of us. So if I say Philippians, what do you think the topic is generally? One word. Remember, we did this a few weeks ago, too. Maybe I should just do a quick review. What is the faith chapter? Those masks are wonderful. You could say anything. The faith chapter. Come on, people. That was just 2 weeks ago, I think. Hebrews 11. Okay, an easier one. The love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. Very good. Okay, so what's Philippians? Very close. Marian said rejoice or joy. Yep, rejoicing or having joy. So Philippians is a book of joy, which already we should be thinking about, okay, that doesn't make any sense, because we know right from the beginning there that Paul is in prison. Okay, so I want to back up. I don't want to delve too much into that, because then we're just going to be chewing our cabbage twice. What I want to look at here is why we just don't get it. Why we don't get it. We can read Philippians and we don't get it. Now, you might be thinking, well, I get it very well. I understood everything he said here. And I especially like this verse, verse 6. See that? Philippians 1, verse 6. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion. Haven't you heard that before? Some of you have heard that before. Isn't it wonderful? It's a really good verse to go back to. Or there was another really good famous one here. For me to live is Christ and die is gain. Isn't that another famous one, another really good one? Guess what? We don't get it. Because We don't understand the situation that was happening in Philippi. We don't know who the people were that were receiving this letter. We don't know why Paul was writing to them. Now, some of you say, yes, I do. Good for you. Some of us remember studying that history. Most of us don't get it, or we've forgotten the study that we do. And we especially here, the Mennonite church, we don't get it because, number one, it has to do with the military. This book, this letter, is steeped in military takeover. That's what Philippi was. It was an area that had been taken over by the Roman military. And the people that were living there were living in a domesticated or a colonized area because of the military. We're so far removed from the military ourselves, even saying that word. Aren't some of you annoyed that I've said military that many times already this morning? Yeah, it's just like, oh, don't talk about that. You don't want me to talk about politics either, do you? Well, that's another reason we'll never get Philippians, because it's all about politics, military and politics. The only thing that could make it worse is if he started talking about money. We'll get to that. But the reason that we don't completely appreciate Philippians as its own standalone book is because it is based on the military and the language and the ideas and the experience. Like, some of us may have had family members in the military, and you may have heard some of those stories. And many have said that even though they had family in the military, those family members didn't want to talk about it. So we don't have those stories to reflect on and connect to what Paul is using to connect to his people. First thing. Second reason that we just don't get it is because this letter was written to people who are living in a colonized area. That they themselves have been colonized, and that they are the dispossessed. Here we sit, I was going to say on the bald prairie, but it's not quite as bald now because some crops have been planted. But here we sit in Saskatchewan, beautiful large land of Canada, and we feel, I am a citizen of Canada, I'm a Canadian. I have freedom, I have rights. We've heard a lot about that in the last few months. And we have a sense of power and ownership. This letter was written to those who had been colonized. A power had come to their land and taken over control. Not only once, but many, many times. This reminds me a lot of Cairo, because Egypt was in exactly that kind of a position. And there's so much architecture and so many different kinds of signs and bits of language that is hung over from those colonization periods. It's very strange. You'll hear French words out of an Arabic-speaking person. They don't say elevator. Well, they do once I've taught them English. But they will say ascenseur. Probably not like that. But they all know that that's what an elevator is. And that's a perfect French word. Poor pronunciation, but, you know, and on and on. So maybe those people who are in Cairo or in Egypt, they would understand Philippians a little bit better or more easily or more readily than we would, because they were colonized. Dare I even speak about our present day colonization? Everybody's holding their breath. What is she going to say? I'm thinking about Israel and Palestine. I'm not thinking about our own settler relations. That's another thing that is very complex. And as soon as you open your mouth, you demonstrate your ignorance. I understand that. I'm ready to take that on. But these people were colonized, and they were living in their own homes on their own land, and yet they didn't have ownership of it, which is what the Palestinians are doing. They're living on their own land, land which was and is their own, and yet the government of Israel, the conquerors, the military conquerors have come in, and they control the area and control those people. So those people in that situation can hear, can read, can feel Philippians in a way that we are not able to. The third reason that we just don't get it is because it's full of language about empire. About empire. Even if I say empire, some might think of that. Isn't there a television show called Empire? A series? I've never watched it. We think about power, but we were all about democracy. And here in Canada, we are always struggling for our democracy. And because our minds are so steeped in democracy, we just don't get it. This book is about empire and the power of empire over the common citizen, the common dispossessed person. I said citizen. See, I still don't get it because they didn't even have citizenship. There they are, living in their own land, in their own homes, but under empire, not democracy. Another reason, not that we don't get it, or it's more difficult for us to get it, is unfortunately why we might get it. Why we might get it is because Philippians is all about cult. Cult following. Blind cult following of those in power. I don't know how much clearer I could be, but that is what our world is experiencing right now. And unfortunately, maybe that is why we can understand a little bit of where Paul is coming from, because he is rejecting that. He is saying, look around you. Can you believe that this is happening? That these powers that be, these overwhelming, definitely military-backed powers, are now also being followed as if they are these gods, these cult leaders. They're like, oh, whatever you say, we will do. Whatever you say has got to be good and true and on and on and on. And there is no situation under which I would turn from you and recognizing the truth of what actually is. That is what is going on in our world and continues to go on. And Paul speaks against that. Back then in the day, Paul was recognizing it, and I want to make sure that we recognize it too. So how can we still get it? The hand of the clock has gone up under the quilt. So I recognize, I get it. I know this is way more exciting for me because I've been steeped in it all week long. And for the rest of the 7 weeks, 7 Sundays, we're going to take tidbits from this. So it won't all be as big each day after. But for those of you who like to read this, I would love for you to read it again with those ideas in mind. And also with another very odd, and I'm sure you'll be surprised, another way of reading through, another lens. For those of you who like to go on the computer and Google things or follow things, try to find an interview by a CNN reporter, Anderson Cooper. There was a brain blip there for a second. CNN reporter Anderson Cooper does an interview with Arthur C. Brooks, who is a Harvard professor, and he is speaking on happiness. And he has some wonderful, interesting things to say, very practical things to say, to assist us in understanding the way our brains work and the way our emotions work. And the reason you would listen to that is because it's interesting and you can learn a few things. But then when you take that information and you put it together with the reading of Philippians, you will all of a sudden see things in Philippians that you never saw or recognized or appreciated before. The way that Paul expresses and understands and shares the joy with the Philippians, who are dispossessed, colonized, under military rule, and Paul himself is in a military prison, in a place that is smaller than Swift Current, by the way. Philippi had only about 10,000 people living in it. I always think of these cities as huge, big areas, but it's not. So that's something we can identify with, about 10,000 people there. They're poor, they don't have citizenship, and yet Paul is saying to them, I rejoice in this. Yes, and I will continue rejoicing. Why? Because he understands what he cares about, and he wants to choose the things that he cares about. Understand what you care about. Who cares? Do you care that, oh man, it's so hot in this church. Why didn't anyone turn the fan on? And then that train, it rumbles by and I can't even hear anything. Oh, the sound in this building is so awful. I don't know why we ever got that PA system anyway. It's just annoying. And then I'll go walk out the back. Man, she just preached forever. Nobody was even listening anymore. It's just, let's go to that restaurant. Why don't I get my table at the restaurant? Doesn't this waitress know where I like to sit? You know, I'm just giving you tiny, tiny little bits of, these are the things that we care about? Really? If we're going to be emotionally healthy, then we have to first recognize what it is that we're caring about. Where is it that we are paying out our attention? Our emotion, where are we giving that away? And then choosing to care about really important things. Like Paul says, who cares? Who cares that I'm in prison? Who cares that these people are trying to make my life more miserable than it already is? I don't care. I don't care because I care about the bigger things. And that is that Jesus Christ is the emperor. Jesus Christ is the ruler. And Jesus is the one who has given us the constitution by which we are going to live. The constitution of well-being. That is what's important. We have the message of good news, not a bunch of good newses, good ideas, good military takeovers. That's what the herald does. That's what the angel does. Come and pronounce and say, there's been a military coup. There's been a military takeover. Oh, aren't our leaders wonderful? And Paul says, Jesus is that wonderful leader. We have one piece of good news, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus, Messiah. Jesus is the conqueror. So then all this other stuff, who cares? Who cares? And the joy that comes from living the constitution of Jesus Christ will transform our lives by the grace of God.
Let's turn in our hymnal to number 580. Sing this as a response song to those words. Let's stand, please.
Please bow for the benediction. Peace be to the whole community, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.